Remember when they were the radical new songs that all the kids wanted to sing? I was one of the kids. So if you are a guest with us this morning, I want to thank you for being here and let you know that we are doing a series of lessons on things that put the Spirit's fire out in our life. And actually, we're looking at the last one this morning. And Lord willing, next week, we're going to start talking about fuel that we can add to the fire to build it up. I mean, if we've looked at the water being dumped on the fire, let's add a few sticks to the fire, right, and build that thing up. Before I forget, I'm reminded PJ says that we're not actually bringing money onto, I mean, we're not actually bringing food. If you want to contribute to helping to buy some food, some snacks and stuff like that that they're going to have, just give it to PJ. PJ, raise your hand back there so people see who we're talking about. If you want to give her a little bit of money to help pay, they have a small family. It's only about a dozen, 15 people. You know, we just want to make sure they've got plenty to eat between 4 and 7. I've got the numbers on that one right. Tuesday night. So if you can help with that, do that. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll jump in this lesson this morning. Father, again, we love you. We thank you for taking such good care of us, giving us another day. Father, help us to be sensitive to the opportunities that you bring our way so that we can be a witness for you. And Father, in all things, especially as we do this study this morning, we want you to be glorified by what we do. Again, thank you for your great love in Jesus' name and amen. You know, it's even hard. Sometimes it's a challenge as a minister to be grateful. And people are good at contributing to that. I remember reading about a minister standing at the back of the door and everybody was going by and they were leaving and they were shaking hands with him. And one woman walked up to him and she was so embarrassed and she said, you know, brother, I hope you weren't offended by my husband walking out in the middle of your lesson. And she was very embarrassed. And he said, yeah, it was a little bit disconcerting. And she said, well, you know, don't take it personally because my husband has been sleepwalking since he was a child. So, of course, you have to think about that a little bit, those of you that are awake. No. You know, I've mentioned several times recently, you know, as a minister, you know, you can't be offended by preacher jokes. You know, I can't be hypersensitive and say, well, that shows some natural hatred and prejudice towards us preacher types. Now, we could probably make some points about that, but the point is you got to learn to laugh and enjoy things, and you got to learn to roll with the punches. That's part of it, right? And I'm thankful that people sometimes, at least most of the time, want to share things like that with me. Sometimes it's hard not to, but, you know, we have to learn to decide how we're going to look at deal with things that come our way, aren't we? So here, let's just jump right into it, okay? Are you a grateful person? I mean, how do you evaluate yourself? Are you really a grateful person, or do you just assume that you are? You know, do others see you as grateful? And I realize that that's a little bit hard to deal with. I like Ben Carson. I'm not sure I would vote for him or ever have. I just like him. He's a neat guy. And last week when everybody was talking about the lottery and all those things were coming up, he made an interesting post on Facebook. He said, I've already won the lottery. I was born in America, and I know the Lord. Isn't that right? I mean, why would you get distracted or caught up in anything else when that is true? Do you think of yourself as being blessed? Do you think of yourself as being blessed all the time? Or is it occasional, depending on the surroundings and the things that are happening to you? That is not necessarily being a grateful person. Because gratefulness is not situational. It is a frame of mind, okay? So let me lead you in a discussion or a few thoughts here that I hope will lead in that direction. Here's what I propose. You know, how can people with so much, can be so ungrateful, people who've got so much, how can they be ungrateful? When so often we read about people who have so little, and yet they learn to be very grateful about what they have. I mean, it is constantly and continually been true that percentage-wise, the larger givers to charitable things are those who make the least amount. People making less than $50,000 give a higher percentage than people who've got a salary over $50,000. Why is that? And a lot of it, again, it has to do with the way that we tend to think and the way that we approach things. You see, what we've got to understand, being ungrateful, or let me put it in the positive, being grateful is not a matter about my net worth, it's about my self-worth. Being grateful is not about being self-made, it's about being God-made. Being grateful is not about an amount, it's about an attitude. And you see, it's hard to put your finger on an attitude, isn't it? It's hard to define it. It's hard to know what it is. But you know, for years we've said this. We talk about the attitude of gratitude. And to be honest with you, I don't like that. And one of the reasons I don't like that is because it's such a cliche. And everybody says it and they throw it around. And, well, how are you feeling today? Well, I'm feeling great. Well, it's good to have an attitude of gratitude, right? We love those little phrases that kind of sing like that, don't they? But the reality is, it's true. It's true. Gratitude is an attitude, not an occasional feeling. And I want to share some principles with you right off here. This is still introduction. Number one, no one can make you ungrateful. Well, yeah, I'm feeling this way because mom, husband, wife, you know, the government, I didn't get my candidate, on and on you go. There's somebody that's made me feel like I feel, and therefore I am ungrateful because somebody else. No, you chose to be ungrateful. And the other thing we've got to remember is that circumstances don't make us ungrateful. We choose to be ungrateful about the circumstances. Oh, you don't know, I'm in pain, we hurt, we've got financial struggles, there's things going on. Okay, you choose to be ungrateful about what's happening to you. So, well, how do you be grateful about bad things? As a child of God, we've got a different perspective on bad things. It may be what we need to draw closer to God. Now, I realize that's not easy, but you see, the third thing I want us to grasp is gratitude is not about a season. It's not about a celebration. It's not the result of a bunch of good times. Man, I've had a good week, and I just feel so good, and I've got a new job, and we've got a little bit of extra money, and boy, I'm just so grateful. Well, what are you going to do when it's all gone? I won't be so grateful, right? I want us to understand that we're dealing with something that is really very serious here, because ungratefulness is not only a choice, ungratefulness is a spirit quencher. It's one of those approaches to life and attitudes about life that makes us take that bucket and just put the flame of the Spirit out completely. Oh, I mean, how do you love the Lord when life is such a bummer, right? I want us to recognize that we can choose to rise above it, and we do choose it. We choose to be ungrateful. And I realize, too, that sometimes it happens by default. You know, I just get an attitude that I can't get rid of, and I'm just down on everything, and nothing looks right, and I just keep that attitude going. But again, we choose to be there, and we choose to stay there. And sometimes we adopt it. We didn't really mean to. Ungrateful parents raise ungrateful kids. That's not a surprise to anybody. And sometimes our attitude towards life is the result of, well, that's just the way my family's always looked at things. You do not have to stay there. You can choose to change that. And you know, with the help of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can change that. We need to recognize that God didn't want us to stay there. Jesus tells a story in Matthew chapter 18. We call it the unmerciful servant. You remember that story? The master is settling accounts with everybody who owes him some money.
And he goes over to this guy who literally, by our standards, owed him millions of dollars and says, you will pay up or your whole family is going to be in trouble. Oh, the guy falls down and he begs and he pleads. And the Bible says the master had pity on him and he forgave the entire debt. Now, what should that guy have done? He should have gone dancing out of there and been so grateful that he would have been willing to forgive anybody that had a debt against him, right? But he didn't. That's the point of the story, right? He goes out and finds a guy who owes him literally pennies and starts nearly choking him to death and says, you'll pay me. And the guy says, have mercy on me, you know, forgive me. No, no, we're not going to do that. And he threw that guy in debtor's prison until he paid it up. And then when the master heard about that, he wasn't very happy, was he? That's God. You see, when we are forgiven and we're not grateful enough to change our life, then God is unhappy with the fact that we have chosen to be ungrateful. You see, when you choose to be ungrateful, then you're going to become unforgiving. And when you're unforgiving, you're not grateful. And when you're unforgiving and not grateful, the Spirit of God is not in you. That's why he wants us to know that. That's why this is such a deadly thing to think about. This is not just something of you know, one day I feel good and one day I don't. You and I literally are making a choice about something that's going to keep the Spirit out of our life. I got two simple little points. Of course, there's several sub-points. But I've got two simple points. Where does ungratefulness come from? How do we develop an attitude of ingratitude? There's a negative way of putting it, right? Well, where does it come? Let me just share with you some ideas that I have about this. I think, first of all, we have to recognize that ungratefulness comes from an insensitivity to the goodness of God. The more you focus and are aware of what God has done, what does it do to you? It fills you with gratitude and thankfulness. It makes you want to just look at everything very differently in spite of what's going on around you. Not just because of it, okay? But you see, we develop that insensitivity. Maybe we've spent too many years thinking, man, I've worked hard, I've got an education, and I've got a good job, and I've bought these things, and I've put the food on the table, and I'm doing all this stuff. I ain't got time to stop and say, God, thank you, because I've done it all. Right? Or maybe we've been so used to having mommy and daddy taking care of us. And we're so used to all of our friends and our employers and maybe the government. They just need to take care of me. And when they take care of me, it's just because I deserve it. And so everything I love and everything I like, I deserve it. Why should I be grateful about that? I don't need to thank God for that, do I? You see, that's a trap that we can get caught up in that literally can be devastating to us. You know, we all struggle with the temptation. I would call it blessings blindness. In other words, we can't appreciate it because we're not looking for it. We're not seeing what God is doing. And it's not that we can't, it's that we won't. We get into a habit, we get into a practice of not seeing the good things that God is doing for us, and therefore we ignore what God is doing. Secondly, I want us to recognize that one of the reasons why we become ungrateful is because we're too busy comparing and competing, right? I mean, we're looking around and seeing, oh, I'm not as good as him, and I'm not as rich as her, and I'm not as talented as them, and I'm not as beautiful, and I'm not as this, and I'm not as that, so... Wow, there's so many. Well, what have I got to be grateful for? Well, when is that ever going to stop? When will there not be somebody that is richer than you and makes more money than you and is better looking than you and more? That's always going to be true. I don't care who you are, how talented or how rich. There's always somebody that's doing more or somebody that's better. If we live our life like that, comparing and competing, Satan loves that. And brethren, we do that with so many things. We even do that with churches sometime, right? There's a church over there that's better. Woo, you ought to see the band they got going. They rock out on Sunday morning, and we could go over there, and we'd come out feeling so good. And they got a preacher that'll literally set the roof on fire, man. You'd get over there and hear him, right? That's the kind of preacher we want, right?
You see, the thing is, when people talk like that, they don't talk about who they love. They're not talking about relationships. They're not talking about a family that's bonded and growing together and helping each other draw closer to God. It's all about what I like and what I want and what will make me feel good. We compete and we compare, and we're not looking at what God has already done for us. And then thirdly, ungratefulness comes from spirit quenchers. Surprise, surprise, right? What have we been talking about? Do you ever stop to realize that every single spirit quencher we have talked about destroys gratitude? I mean, if I'm swamped with doubts, if I'm just caught up in guilt and I can't accept the forgiveness, what have I got to be thankful for? And I'm struggling with secret sin, and yeah, everybody out here looks at me and says, Mike's got his act together, but in my heart I know I don't. I'm not looking around for what to be grateful for, because I know that inconsistency is there. It destroys it. You know, you can go right on through the list, having friends that are poison peers. They're pulling me down. They're not helping me look at what God is doing for me. Or maybe entitlement. Entitlement simply means I deserve it. I don't give God any thanks. That's why that is such a disastrous spirit quencher. And by the way, I'm comparing and competing, so I'm judging. And man, if you don't meet my criteria, I'm holding a grudge against you. Now, what are those things doing to build up gratitude in anybody? They're not doing it, man. They're destroying it. And failure and rejection, yeah, thank you, God, for making me a failure. Right? Thank you, God, for giving me a challenge. Thank you, God, for making me grow. We all know we're better people because of the failures and rejections we've worked through. But if you're not careful, it'll rob the gratefulness right out of your life. And money and legalism and death, man, if we allow those things to control our life, we're not thanking God for anything. It's all about what we have expectations of and what we believe and what we think is right. That's where ingratitude comes from. You see, the thing we have to recognize is that these things all feed ungratefulness. These things are they make our spirit of being ungrateful worse. But then ungratefulness turns right around and feeds all of these things. It makes it stronger and stronger. So spirit quenchers are disastrous in our life, folks. Let me look at the second one here, and we'll go through it very quickly, I promise. Why is ungratefulness so terrible? We all have bouts of it, okay? There are people sitting in the sound of my voice this morning right now. You're having trouble looking at the good in anything because life's tough, and you're hurting. And maybe you've had a series of things that have happened in your life, and you're not exactly thinking with an attitude of gratitude about any of those things. Why is ungratefulness so terrible? Number one, I'm going to give you three reasons. The first one is it's selfish. I'm looking at life, and I'm looking at everything God has done in terms of what I want and what I think and way it ought to be by my terms. And we're saying to ourselves, here it is, the reason why it's selfish is because we're saying, I deserve this, and I not only deserve this, but I deserve more. And man, when you talk like that, you're destroying relationships, you're destroying your jobs, you're destroying your church family. And I deserve this, and I deserve more. What can we do to get more of what I think I deserve? And then another thing we got to recognize, the reason why it's selfish is because it brings about twisted priorities. We get things all out of whack because we're not thinking about how great God is and what God has done for me. I'm looking at these things and saying, God, can't you do just a little bit more? You know, I had a couple people suggest things which I almost used as spirit quenchers. One suggested that we talk about being busy. And somebody else talked about being overcommitted. And I think those are real legitimate possibilities for spirit quenchers. But then I got to thinking about, why do we think like that? Why do we get so overly busy? And why do we get so overcommitted to anything that it hurts our relationship with God? And the reason we do that is because we allow our priorities to get twisted. We lose track of what really does count in life, and we don't even realize that it's happening.
I mean, I think I've got values and I think I've got priorities, but man, I want this to happen and I want that to happen and I want this to be a success. And then pretty soon, you know, the place where we're serving God and glorifying God just gets smaller and smaller, and it's just a tinier piece of the pie. And pretty soon we just don't have time for that because I've got so many other things. You see what we have to remember, brethren? Distraction works. Man, it works. I wish I knew what I could say that could bring that into greater clarity for all of us. Because, you see, the reason why distractions work is because Satan gives us a rationale. He gives us an ability to say, yeah, but I know I'm supposed to do this, but I'm doing all this, and it's only temporary, and this is important, and that's important. And so what Satan does is he gets us distracted and then gives us a complete explanation for why it's okay for us to do that. Isn't that amazing? But that's how Satan works. You know, Eugene Peterson died this week, an incredible theologian. I love his work. I had a quote came across my desk this week that somebody sent to me, and it was just so apropos. Let me read it to you. How can I lead people into the quiet place beside the still waters if I am in perpetual motion? How can I persuade a person to live by faith and not by works if I have to juggle my schedule constantly to make everything fit into place? Well, you know, I read that and I kind of said, ouch, right? I mean, what do I have to offer anybody else if I haven't got time for God? If I haven't got time to be grateful about what God is doing for us? Here, let me throw out a principle at you, okay? We're still talking about being selfish. A Christian is grateful for all things, right? Be thankful for everything. But greater gratefulness is always connected to a sense of indebtedness. When something or someone has done something for me that is so big and so huge, I've got to be extremely grateful for that. I've got to. I mean, why do we love mom so much? Because we're grateful for what moms do, right? And I hope it's true for dads too, but it's just a little easier to say moms, right? What about God? I mean, when I stop to recognize that from creation, God and Jesus and the Spirit got together and they agreed that for you and I to be saved, He would have to pay the price for our sins so that we could be adopted as children of God. He knew that from the beginning that He was going to have to be killed for us. And when I think about what Jesus did on that cross, how do I, in any stretch of the imagination, decide, well, that's just not as big of a reason to be grateful as these other things in life that I really want? Right? Can we do that? Well, obviously we can, but should we do that? That's another story. We need to recognize that we owe God our all. We present our bodies, Romans 12, verse 1, as what? Yeah, a living sacrifice. We all know that. The problem is we only want to put a couple fingers up there, right? We don't want to put our entire life on the altar. Let's just, let me just give him an elbow every now and then. And, you know, we don't want to put God first. And yet, if we want God to bless us, all these things will be added unto you if you do what first? Seek the kingdom first and His righteousness, what He says we need to be doing, and all these things will be added unto us. God said, I'll take care of you. I'll never let you down for putting me first in your life. You know, I love this verse. How great is the love the Father has, what? Lavished. I mean, we're not talking about trickle-down theology. I mean, He's lavished His love on us that we should be called children of God. And John says, let me tell you, that's exactly what we are. You see, our sense of indebtedness to God is paramount. There is nothing more important than that. And yet we constantly show Him over and over again by our twisted priorities that He's not nearly that important to us. And by the way, in my opinion, distractions are the number one destroyer of the church.
It's not flagrant sin. It's not people that are just leaving in droves to do things. It's simple distractions. I want this. I want that. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. Right? I mean, you look at everything now that takes the place of being together on Sunday morning. It wasn't too many years ago that was unthinkable. But now everything can come before being together with God's people, with my family. It's not like I do it every day. I only do it one day. But everything can take the place of that. I just think that's sad to see that happening. Let me give you the other ones. We're going to do them quickly, I promise. One of the reasons why we have to recognize that gratitude is so terrible, that ingratitude is so terrible, is because of where it comes from. Let me read this to you. You know it. You just haven't memorized the list. Can I read it to you again? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Listen to these words. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, right smack dab in the middle, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Let me tell you, a child of God who is ungrateful is somebody that has a form of religion but no power. That's what he's saying. And by the way, this is a pretty scary list to be part of, right? But my ungratefulness is right in the middle of that. Let me give you the last one. It's not only selfish, it's sinful, but it's also, we have to recognize that it's spiteful. What do you mean? How can it be spiteful? You know what spiteful means? It's when you do something in spite of something else. And again, boy, we could have a whole lesson on this, but we haven't got time to do that. When you're being mean, when you're being harmful, even if it's to yourself, you know, cut off your nose to spite your face. You ever heard that expression? Sometimes we are mean to ourselves and we don't even realize we are. Here's what I'm talking about. Ungrateful people are not happy people. And you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've either been there or you're around somebody that's that way. And listen, what is it that we want? We want to be happy. But if I continue to be ungrateful, that means I'm not happy. That means I'm being ungrateful in spite of myself. Because God tells me that He will fill me with joy unspeakable and full of glory if I put Him first. Here's the next one. Ungrateful people ignore God, the giver of all gifts. Why would you do that? We realize that there's so many wonderful things going on. I mean, we're living, we're breathing, we're here this morning. And our biggest problem is where are we going to eat lunch, right? I mean, how good is life? And yet we're not grateful for what God does for us in spite of what God does for us. Let me give you the last one. Ungrateful people have nothing to look forward to. In spite of wanting to have something to look forward to, right? We all want that. I mean, you're getting older. You're older right now than you were when you walked in the building. Someone says it seems like a whole lot. No. You know what I'm talking about. We talked about that last week, right? Brethren, we're aging. I mean, you're not going to be young again. It ain't going to happen. Your body's probably not going to get any better than it is right now. Oh, my. That's a scary thing. No. It's the truth. Man, if I didn't believe that God was going to give me a better one, how am I going to deal with this? If I didn't believe there was a better place, if it was all about life running down and just getting older and older and slower and more feeble and having somebody to have to take care of me and just grind my way through leaving this old, is that all that this life is about? As a child of God, I know better than that. And I feel better than that, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. But if you haven't got a relationship with God, you can't do that. Because why? An ungrateful person sees death as nothing but total loss. A child of God sees it as total gain. Gain. And that's what we need to do. We can choose to turn that around, folks. Because we chose to be ungrateful, we can choose to turn that around and decide we're going to work on being more grateful. And that just means we have to make some better choices. We've got to choose gratitude. We've got to choose to see the things that God wants us to be grateful for in our life. We need to see the grace of God in the little things. If you don't start looking for it in the little things, you're going to be waiting for the big things, and they may not come along. But if we will learn to be grateful to God for the little things that are going on, when those big ones come along, we can shout hallelujah louder than anybody. Because we realize we've been blessed all along. I know you know the words to the chorus. Let me share the verses with you. The little flower that opens, the little bird that sings, God made their glowing colors. He made their tiny wings. The cold wind in the winter, the pleasant summer sun, the ripe fruits in the garden, He made them every one. He gave us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell how great is God Almighty who has made all things well, all things bright and beautiful, creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful. The Lord God made them all. We've got to choose gratitude. And here's what I want to end with. Be grateful for a God who has already declared that you were more important than anything else in all creation. Doesn't matter how little it is, how big it is, how gorgeous it is, how ugly you may think it is. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's called a wonder of the world. God says you're more important to Him than everything He's ever created. How wonderful is that? How can we not be grateful for a God like that? I want you to think about where you are in your walk with God. What do you need to do to reconnect to a God that thinks that much of you? Maybe you just need to talk to Him where you are. When we stand up in a moment, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need to work on being a more grateful person. I need to work on not being so self-centered. Help me do that, God. He'll help you. But we have to want Him to help or He's not going to help. And certainly our shepherds are going to be around the room. Some of them are here. Go back there and grab one of them and pray with them if you'd like for them to pray for you or with you in any way. And certainly as a family, we are here to help each other. And if we can pray for you or we can help you again, begin that walk with God. Let us know, won't you, while together we stand and sing.